Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall. Check out my bio there to see everywhere I am covering the game of baseball, including the Atlanta Braves over at TomahawkTake.com in written form. So make sure you go there, check out that site where you can see all the great content we posted as well. And thanks for making Locked On Braves your first listen each and every day. We post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and we are free and available on all platforms. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at @LockedOn_Braves and subscribe to the Locked On Braves podcast wherever you get your podcasts so that you get notified whenever a new episode is posted. And I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app now and join me the next time I go live to get in on the action. Obviously, on today's episode, we're going to be talking about Game 1 of the World Series, breaking down the key moments from the 6-2 victory over the Houston Astros in Game 1 of the World Series. And let's just jump right into it and start at the beginning because that's where most of the action went down. Jorge Soler got the party started early with a leadoff home run, put the Braves up 1-0, got ahead in the count 2-0 against Framber Valdez, who struggled early and often in this one. But he got ahead 2-0, got a pitch right down the middle and did not miss it, gave the Braves that early lead. And really, you know, that's what I talked about as the biggest key coming into this game is taking that early lead against their pitching staff, allowing this Braves team who hasn't been in this moment before to kind of ease into this World Series. So I thought that, I mean, right off the bat, takes a lot of pressure off the Braves, the rest of the Braves team right there. And that was also the first time that ever been done in the World Series. 117 times we played the World Series. That's the first time somebody has ever started the game with a home run. So pretty cool stuff there for Jorge Soler. And again, this is a guy who the Braves didn't even have in the NLCS. And here he is starting, leading off Game 1 of the World Series for you. And he goes deep to start the game. So, I mean, that right there was just, you know, a huge kickstart to this game. And the offense didn't stop. You know, again, one of my other keys is to continue to add on runs. They scored 5 runs in the first 3 innings of this game, scored in each of the first 3 innings. Again, very crucial for this offense to do that, especially when you had Charlie Morton on the mound. And we're going to talk about the unfortunate news there later. But, you know, when you got Charlie on the mound, or what you're hoping is going to be, you know, 5 or 6 innings, you know, it's huge to get that early lead and then know that he'll be able to shut things down and just kind of allow you to take control of the game. And I mean, even with Charlie, you know, going down and leaving early, that's basically what happened. I mean, the Astros were never really in this game. The Braves took the crowd out of it early on. I mean, the Astros did have 8 hits in this game. They had some opportunities, but I mean, it never really felt like they had a big moment to threaten in this one. Again, they had the 8 hits and 3 walks from Braves pitching, but they were just 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position, as the Braves pitching has and the bullpen has all postseason. You know, they were able to stop those threats and put an end to them and not let the Astros get going, which is going to be key in this series because the Astros can put up runs in bunches, but the Braves pitching did a great job of limiting the damage there. So again, the offense with the early lead, with those early runs, really just took control of this entire game, and it was never really in jeopardy the whole way. One thing I will say is that the Braves offense did go cold after Framber Valdez left. Did not score for a while. Didn't score from after the 3rd inning until the 8th inning. That was a little concerning considering the Astros were throwing, you know, some of their B and even C bullpen guys out there. I mean, Jake Odorizzi went 2 1/3 scoreless, only gave up 1 hit, no walks, and struck out 5. That was a bit surprising to me. You know, I don't want to see that the rest of the series because that is that is one of the another key for me is that this offense has to continue to add, because you know the Astros offense is going to threaten late in games, and they did have some threats late in the game, never brought the tying run to the plate, so it never got real serious, but they're going to continue to get runners on base. The Astros offense is too good. So something that did concern me is just that the Braves offense really went silent after the third inning. You know, they ended up going 2-for-9 with runners in scoring position. You know, not much better there. They had 3 walks in this game as well, left 9 runners on base. So hopefully, as the series goes on, this offense will do a better job of, when they do get those early runs, to continue to add throughout, you know, especially when the Astros aren't using their better bullpen relievers. So that was the only thing, you know, from an offensive standpoint in this game that I thought was not great, and the fact that they didn't continue to add on after the third inning when they did have some opportunities. But again, you know, the offense did what they needed to do, and they scored early, allowed everybody to relax, and the pitching staff was good. And we'll talk about the pitching staff a little bit more later. The Braves did add a run late, which was a big run in the top of the 8th inning. Had 1st and 3rd with 1 out. Freddie Freeman, knowing exactly what he needs to do, tries to get a ball in the outfield. Actually doesn't hit it that deep. But Dansby Swanson, you know, up 5-1, you can take that risk. He gets the send from 3rd, has a great slide to get around the tag. The throw was up the 3rd baseline, so worked out great for the Braves. You know, an add-on run there, which became important because the Astros scored in the bottom of the 8th. You know, would have made it a 3-run game, but as it was just a 4-run lead, and you felt a little bit better about things going into the 9th inning with Will Smith on the mound. So getting that's what I'm telling you. And if you get that early leads, which is going to be the key for the Braves in this series, I think they will do that against the Astros starters. But getting those add-on runs late in this series is going to be huge for this team. So, you know, even getting that 1 run in the 8th was a pretty big deal. Take a break here, and then we'll come back and talk about the Charlie Morton injury. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. As I told you at the top, Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans just like you. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the Atlanta Braves or whatever your favorite team might be. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have a chance to chat with me and might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Braves podcast through our Green Room conversations. Go download the free Spotify Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group of your choice for the latest league updates. Follow me at ShortstopBall in the app to be notified when my room goes live. All right, so I mentioned at the top, as you all know, the unfortunate news with Charlie Morton. He took a ball, a comebacker, hit 102.4 miles per hour in the second inning, went off his leg. Tried to pitch through it. Just amazing that he was able to pitch on a fractured leg and pitched effectively. His last batter was a strikeout of Jose Altuve, who did not have the best game in this one. But Morton does leave the game, does turn out to have a fractured leg, and will miss the rest of the postseason. You know, I saw him grabbing at the leg, and you know, I knew he had the comebacker off his leg, was hoping that it was just going to be a contusion, maybe a really bad bruise, and that he'd be able to come back later in the series, but not the case. You know, another big injury setback for the Braves here, losing their horse, you know, the guy they went out to get for this big spot, for this big moment, and he gets injured, you know, not even 3 innings into the game. Highly unfortunate, really hate it for Charlie Morton, but let's talk about how this affects the Braves the rest of this series. You know, and really what it meant the rest of this game. You know, AJ Minter had to come in, and we'll talk about him more in a minute, but it really made Snitker have to go all out in his bullpen in this one. You know, this was a game where you were expecting to get 5 innings at least out of your starter in Morton and then turn it over to the back end of the bullpen, but you had to bring in Minter in the 3rd inning there to get out of that. Had to extend him a lot in this game. He obviously will not be available for game 2, and that's a big loss in the bullpen. Luke Jackson went an inning in 2/3. Matzik went an inning in 1/3. And then you had Will Smith for an inning to close it out there. So you know, it really forced Snicker to use his best relievers in game one. So, I mean, the Astros have now gotten a good look at all of them. They're all pretty taxed now. It's going to be hard to use some of them in game two. You're really going to have to be hoping that Max Fried is on his game and can go deep in game two so that Snicker doesn't have to go to these guys early, you know, if they have a lead. It's also, you know, on the flip side of that, you could see if the Rays are down by a run or two, you probably won't see Snicker, you know, push a lot of these top relievers to try and keep the game close because they will be so taxed, and you don't run to overextend them in game two, you know, of a potentially seven game series after what they had to do in game one. So, I mean, this is not just huge in the fact that the Braves just lost their game one starter for the rest of the series, but this is also huge in how the rest of the series plays out because they had to really tax their best relievers in game one. The Astros hitters got a long look at them, which I think, you know, could play into the last games of this series as we get deeper into this series. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into Morton going down other than just losing Morton. It's so much more than that. It's the fact that Snicker had to tax his bullpen. It's the fact that the Astros hitters got a good look at these guys. And it's really going to play big into game two. I mean, if Freed comes out there and throws seven innings and the Braves, you know, have a comfortable lead, then it doesn't matter. But if that's not the case and Freed's only able to give you, you know, four or five innings and the Braves do have a lead and you have to tax the bullpen like that again, you know, that's going to be tough. Or like I said, if the game is close and maybe the Braves are down by a run or two, you know, is Snicker going to go to Matzik in a big spot, you know, late in the game to try to keep it close? I don't know. It's really going to change, you know, mostly for game two. It's going to affect how Snicker tries to manage the bullpen after what he had to do in game one with Morton going down early. And then further along in the series, as we get to a potential game five, you know, what are the Braves going to do? They added Kyle Wright to the roster initially. You got to think maybe they're going to pull up, you know, Spencer Strider, maybe Kyle Muller, maybe Tuki Toussaint. I don't know what the addition is going to be for the Braves right now. Obviously, we'll talk about that on tomorrow's podcast. But, you know, there's a big decision to be made for game five. There was already a big decision to be made for game four and what they were going to do there. You know, you're already looking at maybe Kyle Wright and Drew Smyly pitching a lot of innings in that one. Now they'll have to cover a lot of innings in game five as well. So that's back-to-back games you're potentially looking at now, with the Braves having to go with a bullpen game and then having Fried and Anderson for game six and seven, which is, you know, great if it gets to that. Hopefully it doesn't. But, you know, that's back-to-back games now for the Braves where they're going to have to really extend their bullpen with Charlie Morton going down. So, but, you know, it could play in a lot as the series goes on. So something to keep an eye on there, something to look at as we continue to go on in this series. So we'll have to see how that plays out. Again, I think game two will play a lot into that and how Snicker decides to manage the bullpen. We'll take one more break and then we'll come back and talk about that bullpen and how great they were in game one. The show is also brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. Built Bar has a ton of flavors and a wide variety of flavors at that. It's not just your regular chocolate chip fudge, or cookies and cream. It's a bunch of different flavors from almond toffee to mint. They got the peanut butter fudge, dark chocolate raspberry. There's a ton of really interesting, really cool flavors you don't normally get in protein bars. Something that's going to give you a very unique taste. Something that tastes good. It's not hard as a rock like a lot of the other protein bars out there. Has a soft middle, so it's very easy to chew and easy to get down. So whether you like to take them before workout, after workout, as a meal replacement in the morning, or whether it's just a snack for you like it is for me, you can eat them anytime. They're packed with protein. I can't tell you enough how good they are for a treat, for a protein bar. It's just like a candy bar. But go to BuiltBar.com today. Try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use our promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order. Go to BuiltBar.com today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON15. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before on BetOnline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season, as well as the World Series. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. from baseball, basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC right into your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I mentioned the bullpen a little bit earlier. I wanted to dive in a little bit more because the performance that AJ Minter put on in this game was heroic. I mean, this is, you had the start that he had in the NLCS last year against the Dodgers, which was great, but I think this was even better, you know, considering that he had to be thrust into action with Charlie Morton going down early. You know, certainly was not prepared for that and just was really lights out. I mean, 2 2/3 innings, 3 hits, no walks. You know, Minter, when he's had his troubles in the past, it's been with the walks, and the Astros are a team that will take their walks. And so that was big for him. You know, did give up the 3 hits, gave up an earned run, had 3 strikeouts in those 2 2/3. But what was impressive to me is you could tell he was visibly gassed, especially after that Michael Brantley at bat. And he was able to just push through that and give the Braves some really big innings there in the middle to turn it over to Luke Jackson, Tyler Matzek, and Will Smith in the back end. And speaking of Luke Jackson, what a nice rebound outing for him. An inning and 2/3, 1 hit, no walks, no earned, 3 strikeouts. I mean, you could just see it in him. And, you know, he really wanted this. You know how bad Luke hated what happened in that NLCS. So this was a great bounce back outing for him. And the Braves are going to need him. Like I said, they have no other right-handed relievers. So Luke Jackson is going to be very big in this series. So nice to see him bounce back. And Matzek was actually mediocre for postseason. Matzek, I mean, he did allow a run, although it was a bit of a misplay by Duvall in center field. And we should have just played that ball off the wall, held Yordan Alvarez to a double. By the way, Yordan Alvarez is ridiculous. We should probably not pitch to him much in this series. But Matzek did allow that run. It ended up being a triple, and they came to just let the run score. But otherwise, you know, he was his regular good self. Had a close call on a ball that Yuli Gurriel hit. He jumped all over first pitch fastball, and it was so close to being gone. Eddie Rosario played it nicely off the wall, threw it back in, and they were able to get him at second base. That was a huge play in that game as well. Something I didn't mention, the defense in this game, there was a misplay by Dansby and also a misplay by Yuli Gurriel at first base for the Astros. Other than that, there was some really good infield defense in this game. Ozzie and Altuve in particular had some really nice plays in this one. Freddie Freeman had a snow cone scoop that saved Ozzie Albies from a throwing error. So some really good infield defense in this game. But again, the bullpen I thought was really great. You know, Will Smith should have struck out Aledmys Diaz to start out that ninth inning. This home plate umpire was not great in this game. I'll be interested to see the umpire scorecard on this one. I think it heavily favored the Astros, but fortunately was not a huge effect in the outcome of the game. But either way, Will Smith was able to settle down after that and get the next 3 guys out. So the bullpen was excellent in this one. Again, I think game 2 will be big to see, you know, will they have to fully go out all out with the bullpen again, as Snicker was forced to in game 1. We'll see how that plays out the rest of the series. But as far as game 1 goes, the Braves get the 6-2 victory. The bullpen was great, the offense was great early, and they take a 1-0 series lead. Well, that will do it for this episode of Locked On Braves. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @LockedOn_Braves. You can follow me at @ShortstopBall. Also, make sure that you subscribe to the Locked On Braves podcast wherever you get your podcast, and we will talk to you next time.
Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias,
DC Lundberg,
Ryan Finkelstein,
Taylor Blake Ward,
host of Locked On Yankees,
Locked On Mariners,
Locked On Mets,
Locked On Angels,
and you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.